When I was a lad in the 1970s, most of our Saturday shopping trips were punctuated by a visit to the Ferrans Art Gallery in Hull. It was the promise of a Viscount biscuit that lured me there, but it did mean that I spent an appreciable portion of my childhood staring at the gallery's star exhibit, a leering angular self-portrait of Percy Wyndham Lewis, aeronaut, fellow traveller of the Wright, and the father of vorticism, the most explosive chapter of the modernist movement. There he was, grinning out from an acid yellow background, a leading figure of 20th century art. This picture has now crossed the Humber Bridge to guard the entrance of the new Wyndham Lewis show at the National Portrait Gallery in London. There are paintings of himself and of others. The faces on the wall are familiar ones. T.S. Eliot, Rebecca West, Ezra Pound and Virginia Woolf. If Blast magazine had been more like Hello magazine, these would have been its cover boys and girls. And pages from Blast, the house journal of vorticism, are also on display. The art critic Richard Cork has been to experience its impact on our behalf. Richard, did this blow you away?
I thought it was a really impressive show, actually, and it introduces us to a Lewis that is in many ways far removed from the guy who launched Blast back in 1914, because then he was like a classic kind of angry young man. He banded together with Ezra Pound and Henri Gaudier-Bujeska, various other young artists, to produce this sulphurous magazine hitting out at just about everything you could care to mention. And he was a kind of star attraction, really, and very, very involved with the machine age. And all that changed completely once he'd gone off to the First World War, because, of course, one's vision of the machine was profoundly altered by that appalling Holocaust. And when he got back to London, which is where this show starts, he was very different, and he must have been quite conflicted, actually, about where to go and what to do and even who he was.
So what's the emphasis of this show? Because I didn't notice too much contextual material on some of the stories and ideas that usually get served up with Wyndham Lewis, the flirtation with fascism, for instance. They're very quiet about that, aren't they?
Well, I mean, understandably, because, of course, in a way, anyone dealing with Lewis in terms of an exhibition or indeed a book has to kind of cope with the fact that the media immediately say, almost like a sort of knee-jerk, oh, well, he wrote that book on Hitler and he was a fascist. Some of which is true, but unfortunately it does tend to dominate discussion at the expense of looking at everything else that Lewis did. And I don't think it would be fair to describe him as a fascist anyway, actually.
So where does the emphasis fall here, then? Where are we being redirected to?
Well, we're being redirected away from Lewis, the abstractionist, the early guy who had launched Blast and pushed English art right into the modernist machine age, and towards a development which would have been thought very surprising in 1914, towards a much more representational way of dealing with paint, and actually looking not only at figures, but at what's going on inside them, which is something that he would have said no to when he was young. He wants in these portraits, especially the best ones, to get right inside and to help us to get inside too.
These portraits are of the great and the good of modernism on the whole, aren't they? All of whom he seems to have fallen out with at some point in his life. And yet, this isn't a show of malicious portraits, is it? To me, these images seem to have great compassion in them. Even the pictures of people who he seems to have grown to despise.
Yes, indeed. In fact, he wrote this extraordinary book called The Apes of God, which denounced just about everybody he'd ever had a kind of fling with. Or
everybody was up on the wall
with
in this show.
Yes. And one of the first and one of the best portraits you come to, Edith Sitwell, they had an incredibly complex Lewisian ding-dong relationship. Because, of course, he was fascinated by the young Edith, as she then was, Edith the poet, Edith the patroness. And she agreed to pose for him for months and months and months. I mean, this was an arduous task, perhaps matched only nowadays by Lucian Freud, who also does the same kind of thing. But the result is incredibly complex, because Sitwell discovered during these sittings that Lewis was, well, she claims anyway, was sort of interested in her sexually. And her biographer claims, Victoria Glendinning, that this is the only time ever that a man made any kind of signal towards Edith in that respect. And so she found this very, very hard to cope with and recoiled. And so you look at this portrait, which was only finally finished over a decade after it began, and there is something very kind of remote about it, isn't there? She's almost like a kind of deity and someone you think you approach at your peril.
Yes, walking around and looking at these people depicted, it did seem to me that, in a way, if Wyndham Lewis did want to smash everything up with vorticist ideas, he was still quite keen to keep that patronage system going. I mean, there are some these are somehow very flattering portraits. I think these sitters, I think, would have liked what they saw on the whole.
Yeah, well, I mean, the thing about Lewis was he was always desperately short of money. He was always broke. He was always painting, to my incredible sorrow, over lots of his earlier vorticist canvases. In fact, we can see traces of the earlier paintings in a lot of these later portraits, in fact, which is terribly frustrating. So it was a sort of struggle for him, and the people used to pay him very little. The masterpiece of the show, in many ways, is the portrait of Ezra Pound. Tate Gallery bought it from him. You think, great. Do you know how much they paid? £100.
Does this show help us explain what vorticism was? Does it help situate that as a movement so that people who come to the gallery will be able to understand what the movement meant and what Lewis's relationship with it was?
Well, I don't think it actually deals with vorticism much at all, because it's all post-vorticist. And to me, the climax of the show is when we get to the great, and I mean great, portrait of T.S. Eliot. And it's so frustrating because this portrait, which ought to be either at Tate or at the National Portrait Gallery in the Permanent Collection, was rejected at the time by the Royal Academy. They actually turned it down from its summer exhibition. I mean, it's quite incredible to realise this now, because it's a masterpiece. And it was bought by somebody who eventually gave it to Durban Municipal Art Gallery in South Africa. And that's where it's come from. It's wonderful to see it here. No reproduction can do it justice. I urge anyone who is involved either in Lewis or Eliot or modern literature or modern art to rush along to the National Portrait Gallery, because this is the most profound portrait of a great, great poet.
I think that some people who come to this show may be taken aback by the strength of his colour as well. His use of colour really takes the breath away, doesn't it? These sort of rich reds and rather vicious acid yellows.
Oh yeah, very much, particularly in two extraordinary portraits of his wife. Froanna was her nickname, and they're both very red, aren't they? And you don't think of Lewis naturally as a colourist. You think of him as a rather sort of steely character with a rather sort of whiplash command of line and something very metallic and sculptural going on, all of which is true. But in these two portraits of Froanna, something softer, something more lyrical, something more devoted comes to the surface, particularly the one where the figure itself, which is often so solid in Lewis's portraits, seems to be on the point of melting, seems to be on the point of dissolving into the surface of the canvas. And the redness has a lot to do with this. And I think he was actually very much in love with her. She outlived him by quite a long time. I corresponded with her, actually, towards the end of her life, when I was writing a book on vorticism. And she was obviously very, very devoted to him and his memory. So this idea that Lewis was simply a kind of satirical enemy whom everyone kind of got to dislike very violently is only part of the truth. He was an incredibly complex character.
Thanks very much indeed, Richard Cork. Wyndham Lewis Portrait continues at the National Portrait Gallery in London until October the 19th.